Hi, and welcome to Crash Course Catholicism, a podcast about Catholic teaching and why it makes sense. I'm your host, Caitlin West. Hey friends, welcome to episode 69. So, this episode is on how to go to confession. So I'm making this episode now for a few reasons. First of all, because it's Lent and we're coming up to Easter, and it's a really good idea to make a good confession in the lead up to Easter. Secondly, I know that there are listeners who are being received into the Catholic Church over Easter, which is amazing, and they might be making their first confessions around this time. Thirdly, I'm making this episode for people like me who go to confession regularly and who do kind of know how to go to confession, but they might need a refresher on what we actually do. Because if you think about it, if you're like a cradle Catholic, then you probably learned how to go to confession when you were like a child. And it's not like anyone gives you a refresher. So you might find yourself as an adult wondering if you're actually doing everything correctly. So if you fall into any of the above categories, then this episode is for you. So way back in episode 22, we talked about the theology of confession, but this episode is going to be more of a practical guide. We're going to begin by going through like the structure of confession, what actually happens step by step in the confessional. And then we're going to go through some like common questions or concerns or fears that people might have around confession. And then lastly, we're going to cover some advice for how to make a good confession. So, starting with how to go to confession. Well, before we even step into the confessional, the first thing that we need to do is to make an examination of conscience. So this is pretty much what it says on the packet. An examination of conscience is when we sit down in front of God and we ask ourselves, okay, what does my conscience accuse me of? What are the areas where I have failed to love God and to follow his commandments? In other words, what sins are on my conscience that I should mention in confession? So Father Mike Schmitz describes sin, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but basically he describes sin as knowing what God's will is and then deciding to do something else instead. So this definition covers two different kinds of sin: sins of commission and sins of omission. So it's kind of like we say in the Confiteor at Mass, what I have done and what I have failed to do. Now, this can be really helpful to remember when we're examining our conscience, because sometimes we can focus on the sins of commission, things that we have actively done, like lying or stealing or cheating. But we can also sin by omission when we know that God wants us to do something, but we don't do it. So, for instance, maybe I know that I should call my friend because she's going through a hard time at the moment and I can feel the Holy Spirit being like, hey, give your friend a call. But instead, I just sit on my phone on the couch and I scroll through Instagram for half an hour. So when we do an examination of conscience, we can think about both the things that we have done and the things that we have failed to do. Now, there are a few different resources that can help us to do a good examination of conscience, and I'll include some samples in the show notes. But we can also just go through like the Ten Commandments or the Seven Deadly Sins or like a list of virtues and vices if we need something a bit more structured to help us examine our conscience. Now, we've said this before, but in confession, we only actually need to confess mortal sins, serious sins. Technically, we don't have to confess our venial sins, although it is recommended. And if you're going to confession regularly, then you might only have venial sins to confess. But we technically don't have to confess our venial sins. And it can be helpful to remember this when we're examining our conscience, because this can help us to avoid getting scrupulous or like over anxious. The point of doing an examination of conscience isn't to kind of comb through our life and dig up every single tiny venial sin that we've committed, or to start stressing about like, oh, what if I've forgotten some small thing? Okay, that's not the point. The point isn't to list off every possible thing that we've done. The point is to open our hearts up to God and to ask ourselves, okay, what are the things that I'm struggling with at the moment? Where do I need God's grace? What am I sorry for? So for this reason, it can be really helpful to pray to the Holy Spirit before we begin our examination of conscience and ask him to show us the things that we need to bring to our confession. Okay, so after we've done an examination of conscience, we go to confession. So here's the step-by-step summary of what happens. First thing, After we've entered the confessional and the priest has greeted us, we make the sign of the cross and say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important that the penitent makes the sign of the cross. I mean, the priest can say it with us, but in making the sign of the cross, we indicate that we have come here of our own volition to seek the mercy of God. So after you've made the sign of the cross, you can also say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." This isn't in the official rite of penance, but many people say it, and it is perfectly fine to say it. The priest then invites the penitent to confess their sins. So he might say something like, "May the Lord be in your heart and help you to confess your sins with true sorrow." It might be some variation on that, and the rite of penance offers a few different options. But the main point is that the priest invites the penitent to open their hearts to God's mercy. So after that invitation, the priest or penitent is permitted, if they want to read or recite a brief passage from Holy Scripture. Now, this isn't compulsory, but it's certainly possible. So for instance, you might say, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Again, it isn't compulsory to do this, but it can be a really helpful and beautiful way to kind of prepare yourself, like to open your heart up to God's mercy before you confess your sins. The penitent then says, "It has been X number of weeks or months or years since my last confession." Now, if you're not exactly sure how long it's been, that's fine. You can just say it's been a really long time and roughly this number of years or months, but I don't know exactly. The point here isn't to give an exact precise time frame, but more just to give the priest some indication of how long it's been so that he can cater his advice or counsel to your personal circumstances. So after you've told the priest how long it's been since your last confession, you confess your sins. So you might say, "I told a lie in a social situation," or, "I gossiped with my colleagues every day this week at work." Now, it's important when you confess your sins that you clearly name the sins that you've committed, and also that you indicate roughly how often or how many times you've committed that sin since your last confession, because that matters, right? Because the difference between telling a lie one time at a party because you were embarrassed and habitually lying every single day. So you name the sins and you say how often you've committed them. And after you've confessed all your sins, you can end by saying, "I'm sorry for these and all my sins." The priest then offers the penitent some brief counsel. So he might encourage you to work on a particular virtue or give you some advice for how you can fight against a sin that you've confessed. And then he will assign you a penance. So penance is something that you do after confession to say sorry to God for your sins and to make reparation. It's usually something pretty small. So it might be like saying a few Our Fathers or Hail Marys. So the priest will assign a penance and then invite the penitent to make an act of contrition. So the act of contrition, it can take various forms, but it's basically just a prayer in which the penitent expresses sorrow for their sins to God and asks for his forgiveness. So one of the examples that's given in the rite of penance is the following prayer: "My God, I am sorry for my sins with all my heart. In choosing to do wrong and failing to do good, I have sinned against you, whom I should love above all things. I firmly intend, with your help, to do penance, to sin no more, and to avoid whatever leads me to sin. Our Savior Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. In his name, my God, have mercy." You can also just say the shorter version, which is, "Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." So there are different ways of saying the act of contrition, and I'll include some links to different examples in the show notes in case anyone wants to take a closer look. Okay, so after you've made your act of contrition, the priest says the words of absolution. Now, the key words to listen out for in the absolution, because these are the crucial words, are, "I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," to which you respond, "Amen." Tell you what, guys, those words of absolution are like some of the best words that you could ever hear. There is something like tangibly powerful about hearing the priest in the person of Christ say, "I absolve you of your sins." It's the best. So after the absolution, the priest dismisses the penitent with the words, "Go in peace." So that's it. That's the structure of confession. Now, we went through that in a little bit of detail, so it might seem a little bit overwhelming. So let's like condense it and just go through bullet point form what actually happens in confession. So in confession, you go in, you make the sign of the cross, the priest invites you to confess your sins, you tell him how long it's been since your last confession, you confess your sins, the priest offers some counsel and assigns you a penance, you make an act of contrition, and then he says the words of absolution and tells you to go in peace. That's it. That's confession. Easy as. Okay. Now, some common fears and concerns and general questions that people might have about going to confession. Question number one, how often should one go to confession? Well, as we've already said, you only strictly need to go to confession to confess mortal sins. If you have committed a mortal sin, I would recommend getting to confession as soon as possible. I think we've talked about this before. Like, if someone has cut your leg off, you're not going to just like stand around like bleeding out and being like, well, it's just a flesh wound. No, you're going to run to the nearest hospital. And the same should be even more true of our eternal souls, that when they've been mortally wounded, we should go as soon as possible to confession. However, if you haven't committed any mortal sins, it's kind of up to you. Like, many people recommend going to confession once a month or even every 2 weeks. Some people even go to confession once a week. And that's not because you have to and it's like really bad if you don't, or because we're like really scrupulous and we keep running to confession even though we haven't committed any serious sins. It's more just that God's mercy is right there waiting for us. And we know that the sacrament of confession is a channel of grace. It can really help us to fight our sins and vices. So if the option is there, we might as well take advantage of it. Now, a common fear that some people have about going to confession is the fear of shocking or scandalizing the priest. Now, I think we might have mentioned this in episode 22, but it bears repeating. I can't tell you how many times I have heard priests say that there is pretty much nothing you could say in confession that the priest hasn't heard before. It is pretty hard to shock a priest in confession. I've also heard priests say that they actually don't even remember the sins that people have confessed once they leave the confessional. It can also be helpful to remember that we are confessing our sins to God when we go to confession, and God already knows everything that we've done and everything that's in our hearts. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it easier to say those things out loud, but it's an important point and it's worth reminding ourselves. Like, we're not there to confess to Father so-and-so, we're there to confess to God. Now, here's another common question. What happens if I forget to say a mortal sin in confession? So if we deliberately withhold a mortal sin in confession, then the whole confession is invalid. So we should never do that. But what happens if we genuinely forget to say a serious sin? Okay, if it is a genuine accident or oversight, then we don't need to worry. Provided that we honestly intended to confess that sin, then the sin will be absolved along with all the others. If you leave confession and like 5 minutes later you remember that you got drunk at a party 3 weeks ago and you forgot to mention it, okay, don't worry. You don't need to like rush straight back into the confessional. Instead, make an act of contrition and remind yourself that the sin has been absolved because you intended to confess it, and then just make sure that you mention it in your next confession. But in the meantime, you can still go to communion and you don't have to stress about it. Remember, guys, God is merciful. He wants to forgive us of our sins. He is never going to withhold his mercy because we genuinely accidentally forgot to mention something that we wanted to say. Now, another question about confession. What happens if I forget my penance? So there are kind of two versions of this. Like, first of all, what if I forget what my penance is? Like, I've had this experience before where I've gone to confession and then afterwards I stay to chat with the priest for some like spiritual direction. So we have like a big old chat and then I leave the confessional and I'm like, la da dee. And then I kneel down to say my penance and I'm like, I have forgotten what my penance is. Okay, if that happens, don't fret. Again, remember, God knows your heart and he is merciful. If you have forgotten exactly what the priest gave you for your penance, just say a prayer or a few different prayers. So you might say an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be, and then just leave it in God's hands. The second version of forgetting your penance is forgetting to say your penance at all. So say that you leave the confessional and like there's some kind of emergency or someone distracts you and you forget to say your penance. Again, don't fret. If it isn't intentional, then God understands. If like 3 days later, you suddenly remember that you forgot to say your penance, then just say it when you remember and don't worry. Having said that, it's a really good idea to try to say your penance as soon as you leave the confessional rather than putting it off or doing something else first, because that minimizes the chance that you will actually forget. Now, one final question that I've gotten before from listeners is, can you go to confession if you aren't a Catholic? So there are some situations where, like say that you're planning to become a Catholic, maybe you're in the RCIA, or maybe you're just learning about Catholicism and you've learned about the sacrament of confession and you're like, this sounds amazing and you want to participate in it. Or maybe you're not even planning to become a Catholic, but you find the idea of confession really beautiful and you want to experience it. Okay, now, generally speaking, non-Catholics can't receive the sacramental grace of confession. A non-Catholic can absolutely arrange to see a priest for spiritual guidance, but just like with the sacrament of Holy Communion, you need to be a fully initiated Catholic to go to confession. And this makes sense when we think about it, because the whole point of confession is that it brings you back into communion with the church via the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're not a Catholic, then you're fundamentally not in full communion with the church. Now, there are some exceptions to this. So say, for instance, that you are a validly baptized Christian and you are in imminent danger of death. So you're dying, but you want to become a Catholic, and there's obviously no time for you to have that kind of formal process of being received into the Catholic Church. But spiritually and in your heart, you're like, I believe that the Catholic Church is the one true church. I accept all of her teachings. I want to be in full communion with the church, and I want to receive confession and absolution before I die. In that situation, it may be appropriate for that person to receive the sacrament of confession. Another exception is if you are a validly baptized Christian and you have just gone through the RCIA program and you're about to be received into the church through the sacraments of confirmation and communion. In that situation, before you have your first communion and confirmation, you might go to confession so that you can receive our Lord in the Eucharist. So in that instance, going to confession is actually part of that process of being formally brought into full communion with the church. So those are some common questions or concerns that people have about confession. Now, moving on to some advice for making a good confession. I recently asked a priest what advice he would give to someone who is going to confession maybe for the first time in a long time, or even for the first time ever. And the first thing that the priest said was, don't panic. He was like, don't panic. Don't worry. The priest will help you. If you don't know what you're doing, you can totally just come into the confessional and kneel down and say, Father, I haven't been to confession in years, or I'm nervous and I've completely forgotten what to do. Can you help me? And he will help you. I remember a friend of mine telling me once that she went to confession after many years of not practicing her faith. And she basically went in and was like, Father, I don't even know where to begin with my sins because it's been years. And he was like, that's okay. No worries. Let's go through the Ten Commandments together. And then he took her step by step through the Ten Commandments. So that's advice number one. Don't panic. You can ask the priest for help at any point if you're not sure what to do. Advice number two. I've heard this a few times before and I find it really helpful. When you go to confession, you should try to be three things: clear, concise, and complete. So the three C's: clear, concise, complete. So clear. In other words, be specific. Don't be vague. If you say, I sinned against the fourth commandment, okay, that could mean anything. The fourth commandment is honor your father and mother. So like, what did you do? Were you a little bit snappy with your mom, or did you like punch your dad in the face? Because the difference is important. So you need to be clear about the sins that you've committed. And one of the reasons for that is that God can't heal us if we don't show him our wounds. So imagine if you went to the doctor and the doctor was like, all right, what's up? And you were like, well, I have a pain in my body. And the doctor was like, okay, whereabouts in your body? And you were like, the top half. Okay, that's not very helpful. The doctor can't help you if you're not clear about what's going on. So if you're ever not being very clear in confession, the priest might ask you for some more detail. Now, this isn't him prying, and he would never ask for unnecessary detail. This is just him making sure that he understands the nature of the sin so that he can absolve it and offer you appropriate counsel. Secondly, concise. So I remember when I was a teenager, I went through this phase of like telling these long-winded, unnecessarily detailed stories every time I went to confession. I'd be like, so I was talking to my friend and she was like, blah, blah, blah. And then I probably shouldn't have said this, but I was like, well, and I would just go on and it was way too much detail. Now we can fall into this for a couple of reasons. One is that, and I think this might've been the case with my teenage self, it might be a way of us almost trying to bury the sin in detail. Like we're avoiding just saying outright what we did. It's kind of like surrounding the confession in cotton wool or softening the blow of naming our sins by kind of telling a big long story. Now, as scary as it is, it's always better to just rip it off like a band-aid. Just face the sin, name it clearly and concisely. The other reason that we might give too much detail is out of a kind of scrupulosity or anxiety. We might feel like we have to give every little skerrick of detail because we don't want to leave anything out. We don't want to hide anything. Now, we have to remember that the only thing that we need to do in confession is to confess the sin itself. We don't need to describe all of the circumstances surrounding that sin, unless those circumstances are necessary for context. And then thirdly, complete. Our confession should be complete. In other words, we shouldn't intentionally hide or leave out something, especially if it's a mortal sin. So as we've already said, if we withhold a mortal sin deliberately, then the sacrament is invalid. If it's a venial sin, then okay, we don't need to worry about saying every single thing. However, if we ever notice that we are tempted to deliberately withhold a venial sin in confession, because we're embarrassed about it, or because we don't want to say it out loud. It's not like that's some huge mortal sin or it like invalidates the whole confession. However, those are often the precise sins that we actually do need to bring to God. Those might be the exact places, the places where I'm like, ooh, let's not go there. I don't have to say this because it was a venial sin, but it's also still kind of awkward and embarrassing and I don't want to say it. Okay, that might be the exact thing that you need to open up to God and open up to his help and his mercy. And now another piece of advice about confession that I've found helpful that is kind of related to this is to say the hardest thing first. And this is purely just a matter of being merciful to ourselves. So the way that I've heard it explained is imagine that you're like climbing a mountain and you get to the top and you're carrying a huge boulder on your back, but you've also got a bunch of little pebbles in your pockets. Okay. It would be a little bit silly if you started to like slowly empty out the pebbles in your pockets before putting down the boulder. The best thing to do is to relieve yourself of the biggest burden first and then deal with the smaller stuff. Remembering that you're not coming to confession to be punished or condemned. You're coming to receive God's mercy. You are actually unburdening yourself of your sins. So unburden yourself of the biggest stuff first, the hardest stuff. Now, one final piece of advice that can help us to make a good confession is to do a brief examination of conscience every night before we go to bed. So this might take only like 2 or 3 minutes. We just sit down in front of God and we think over our day and we make a note of anything that we're sorry for. And this is a really helpful habit for us to get into for a few reasons. First of all, it means that by the time we get to confession, we don't have to sit there like racking our brains trying to remember what we've done since our last confession. Instead, we arrive with a few things already jotted down and ready to go. Secondly, doing a daily examination of conscience helps us to get a better picture of the sins and vices that we are consistently falling into, the areas where we particularly need God's grace and help. And this makes it less likely that our confession will become us just like rattling off a laundry list of our sins. Instead, we're going to focus on those places in our hearts where we most need God's help and mercy. It also just helps us to know ourselves better. There might be things that we're not even aware of that we're struggling with, and examining our conscience every day will help us to see them more clearly. Okay, now before we wrap up, let's briefly talk about something called the second rite of reconciliation. So generally speaking, when you go to confession, you rock up at the church, you sit in a line in the pew, and then when it's your turn, you go to confession, and then you come out and say your penance in front of the tabernacle, and then you go home. However, point 1482 of the Catechism says, the sacrament of penance can also take place in the framework of a communal celebration in which we prepare ourselves together for confession and give thanks together for the forgiveness received. So this is what we refer to as the second rite of reconciliation. In the second rite, everyone comes together as a community in the church to prepare for confession and give thanks afterwards. So there are readings and prayers, there's a communal examination of conscience, and then, just like with the first rite, each person individually goes to the priest and makes their confession and receives absolution and says their own penance. And then after everyone has individually been to confession, there is a collective prayer of thanksgiving before everyone goes home. So this second rite of reconciliation can be a way of emphasizing what the Catechism refers to as the ecclesial character of penance. Ecclesial meaning the church. So the fact that we are all part of the mystical body of Christ and we all need and seek forgiveness together. Now, even though in the second rite of reconciliation, there's a much greater emphasis on community and the fact that we're all asking for forgiveness of our sins, it's important that the actual confession of your sins and absolution still occurs individually. So it's not like there's some kind of group confession or general absolution of everyone's sins. There is a communal kind of liturgy around the celebration of confession, but the sacrament of confession itself still occurs in the same way. It's still private. So point 960 of canon law states that individual confession and absolution constitute the only ordinary means by which a member of the faithful, conscious of grave sin, is reconciled with God and the church. Only physical or moral impossibility excuses from confession of this type. So, in other words, there are only a couple of very rare circumstances when the church would allow a priest to collectively forgive the sins of people without individual confession. Point 1483 of the Catechism gives the example of a situation where there is imminent danger of death without sufficient time for the priest to hear each penitent's confession. So, for instance, if you're on a plane that's about to crash, then the priest might give a general absolution. Apart from that, apart from situations of physical or moral impossibility, confession always occurs individually. And the reason for that is pretty obvious. I mean, God is a personal God. We have a personal relationship with him. And so the process of seeking and receiving forgiveness from him is also highly personal and individual. Okay, so that's all that we have time for today. In our next episode, to kind of continue this theme of penitence and forgiveness and God's mercy in the lead up to Holy Week and Easter, we're going to talk about indulgences and how indulgences work. Such fun. I can't wait for that. Have a fantastic fortnight, and I will talk to you later. Okay, bye.